I'd like to say we're glad to be here. First time we've ever been in this, not in the state, we've been in the state numbers of times and we've ministered. First time we've ever been in this area, but we're glad to be here tonight. As most of you know, there's been a change in the location. The meeting has been shifted around, and this, we run into a little complication, but we're still here to worship the Lord. We're thankful for those that have come so far to be with us. Appreciate those that locally have come out to be with us. We're thankful to God that you're here. We're here, as always, it seems that always that our meetings have more than just a significance as just coming together for a prayer meeting or for a tent meeting. They always seem to have some special spiritual significance. And of course, this one is no different from the others. And this one is one of the great spiritual significance of what God is doing in the day that we're living in. And it is amazing how that God has so marvelously concealed the things that He is doing in such a wonderful way, in that the world knows nothing about it and won't know anything about it until the last minute. And then the saints of God will all together in such a great manner respond and begin to enjoy it, and the world will be cut out. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm glad that I see and understand. I appreciate you being here tonight. I'd love to see the tent filled up, but it's not. If we only had two or three people, I'd be happy. But we've got more than two or three here tonight. So I appreciate every one of you, and I thank God for you. Maybe there'll be more as we go along, could be less. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether we have more or whether we have less. I am glad that I am here in Marysville to preach this meeting. I'm glad that I'm here. I really mean that from my heart. Now, we've been in other meetings, and they had special significance, and we've had some bigger crowds. I had a lot of enthusiasm toward those meetings. Enthusiasm that I didn't have toward this meeting so far as coming up here. I had no special enthusiasm to come up here because I felt like that it would be just like it is right now. But because of the greatness of God and what I understood in the things of God, I had a great spiritual unction to be here in Marysville. And I am so glad tonight that I am here in Marysville. And I feel that God is going to do something here in Marysville, and I'm so glad to God that I'm here tonight, because this is such a great, wonderful, outstanding thing that is taking place here in this little town of Marysville. I hope that you can enjoy yourself in the meeting. I hope that you can stay with us, the ones that have come up from Monroe. I hope you can stay around as long as possible. If you have to go back, that's all right. But those that can stay, I'd like for you to stay, because I am excited about being here in this place. As a matter of fact, this marks an ending and a beginning. An ending of something old and a beginning of something new. And I understand that they call Alcor and Marysville the Twin Cities, which of course works beautiful. Considering the plan of God, considering what just happened on the lot that we had uptown. It just worked out perfectly for the individual to do what he did, and I'm excited about that. I wasn't so excited, you know, the outlook he took, but it's so exciting to me because I know what the significance of it was. I'd like to read just a little bit tonight from the book of St. Luke, chapter 9. And if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. If not, I'd like for you to listen as I read. Now, there's one thing about it. It doesn't matter who or how many comes to the meeting. The thing is, you are here. And God is dealing with you. He is concerned about you, and you are concerned about Him. And it is your life that you must give an account for in the day of judgment to God. All the others that are not here, they'll have to give an account to God. Every one of them will have to give an account to God. I noticed when we come by the carnival down here, they had quite a crowd. And I'm sure they're doing their thing, and they're doing what they enjoy doing. Now, we're doing what we enjoy doing.
And I'm sure that they get a lot of joy out of what they're doing because they're doing what they enjoy doing. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of God's not there. And I'm sure that they're enjoying the love of the world while we are enjoying the love of God. And so then let us tonight enjoy the love of God in such a wonderful, magnificent manner, even the same or even more so as they that enjoy the things of the world. All right, reading from chapter 9, the book of St. Luke. If you've got your Bibles, let's read together. Chapter 9, St. Luke, the 18th verse. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the chief of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they shall see the kingdom of God." Now then, I want to say before we get into our thought tonight, I want to say once again that we count it a happy privilege to be here in the little town of Marysville and to share our enthusiasm for Christ with you. We have for many years traveling around different places, shared the Word of God in tent meetings, auditorium meetings, in little churches out in the country, and some big churches in the cities, by radio, by TV, by the printed page, by preaching on the street, and many other ways we've shared our ministry and the Word of God across the different parts of the United States and the different parts of the world. And being here tonight in Marysville, having a chance to share it in this little town, knowing God's greatness and knowing what He's doing, it gives me great pleasure to be here tonight and share with you my feelings and my enthusiasm toward the things of God. I hope that while we are here, that I can take my time and talk to you about the love of God and tell you about the wonderful things of Jesus. Not to hurry, not to press through anything, but just to relax in the Lord and try to indoctrinate you with the wonderful truths of God. You know, Jesus said on one occasion, "He that is of the truth, he heareth my voice." And I'm not disturbed tonight because I know that he that is of the truth heareth my voice. The Bible tells me that when I preach the gospel, that it will not be me preaching or speaking, but the Heavenly Father that's speaking from within me. And if it is God speaking from within the temple, then it is according to the Holy Scriptures, he that is of the truth will hear that voice. He that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that's not of the truth will not hear my voice, but everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so then tonight there is a great thing that is taking place. Jesus said here to them, he said, "And there be some of you that are standing here that shall not see death until the kingdom of God become," or until you have a chance to see the kingdom of God, or that is to be able to look into the spiritual things of God and understand the greatness of what God is doing in the earth today. So then it is a great thing to be here tonight and to know that the kingdom of God is in the earth. You know, most people, even religious people of today that live very close to God, do not realize that the kingdom of God is in the earth today. Most people, even religious people, do not realize that God has already done something great and outstanding in the earth. They do not understand that God has brought to pass something in this life and in this world that they have not been able to fathom or to see. I believe that the thing that causes that is that man accredits to himself too much. And I believe that man thinks too highly of himself, and he doesn't think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto him. It seems that man and woman thinks too highly of themselves. It seems that they accredit to themselves great ability to have great understanding and to have great knowledge, because as they look around them, they see the great things that are taking place in the world today. They see the huge skyscrapers as they're built in the cities, and they look at those and they think, look at this great masterpiece that we, the people, have built. They see the machinery as it moves along the road. They see the great powers of science as they shoot at the moon, and they see the great things that are taking place, and they accredit to themselves great powers of ingenuity, great ability, and they feel that they are special, you know, and each one gets to feeling like he is above the other and that he is some special person, even a little bit better than the other person. Now, it might be that he may feel inferior to other people in one way, but he will somehow or another work it around to feel that in some capacity of life that he is elevated above the other person. Somebody say, I love Jesus. It seems like that is one of the characteristics of human beings. It seems that people always have a tendency to look at themselves, and they have a tendency to admire their own ability and to consider what they can do in life and what they have done in life and what they have accomplished in life. You know, this is the error of mankind, because that's the very thing that God forbids. The Bible tells us to look on the things of another. Do we tonight look on the things of another? The Bible said for me to look on the things of another. It tells you to look on the things of another. The Bible tells me that I am to esteem others better than myself. And it tells you that you ought to esteem others better than yourself. This is the only way that Christ can get into your heart. When we esteem ourselves and when we look on the things of our own ability, it means that Satan is working within our human faculties, and Satan is working within our own intellectual powers, and that Satan is doing what he wants to do within this human being. It means that Satan hath the power and hath the part in our life that he shouldn't have. So then, when we recognize that Satan has taken advantage of us, then and only then is when we have an eye to where we can see enough to get rid of our error, and understanding enough to where we can eradicate from our life that which brings us into bondage and that which weaves a web for us to be caught in. So then, man tonight, he keeps looking around him and he sees all that he hath done, all that he hath accomplished. And so in great admiration, he admires himself. Like Nebuchadnezzar down in Babylon, after all of his great accomplishment, after he had built his great walls and built the great city, as he walked through the city and he looked at everything and was so beautiful, he walked there, he looked at the great walls, he saw all of the accomplishment, saw the great walls that as much as 6 chariots side by side could race upon on the top of the great walls. He thought that they could not be penetrated. He thought that those walls were impregnable and that nothing could get through those walls. But I want you to know that God had prophesied through a prophet many years before that king was ever born into the world, that somebody, somewhere, someday, a man by the name of Cyrus would come along and overthrow that city. And sure enough, it happened in the days of Belshazzar. It came to pass that Cyrus dried up the Euphrates that run through the city and turned the waters and came in under the walls, went down the dry bed of the river and came up in that very night that Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall, that very night that king lost his life. You know, we can admire everything that we've got, and we may feel that we're some great power. We may feel that we've got all the nuclear power and all the nuclear weapons that we need for security. We may feel that we're so intellectually smart that we don't need anything or anybody to help us. We may feel that no other nation in the world can bother us or handle it like we can. But I want you to know something tonight. The enemy is laying in wait. And the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And tonight, because America has sinned against God, America is going to fall to the ground. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that her great skyscrapers shall crumble to the ground. John said, I saw the great buildings of the cities crumble to the ground. I saw the great earthquakes, the great explosions. I saw the islands moved out of their place. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that there is no safety anywhere except in Christ. And unless you and I flee to the rock of our salvation, we won't have a hiding place. There is no safety in the earth tonight. I notice in the papers, Castro giving his opinion of our president, saying, first of all, I think he's dishonest. That's his opinion. But he said, I think Carter is dishonest. I think that he's dishonest. Now, maybe he is dishonest, maybe he isn't dishonest. That's Castro's opinion. But there's one thing about it. If the nations that are round about America are losing respect for our president, and if they're losing respect for our people, then you know that there's something that's about to happen. You know that God is about to let something come upon us that we can't deal with or cope with. There is something that's on the way. That great power of the north is on its way, the Bible said. And that great beast, that great evil one, is on its way to cause problems and to cause heartaches and to cause sorrows. And why is it that we will have to go through those things? Because we do not like to retain truth in our knowledge. We do not like to retain God in our knowledge. And the Bible said because they did not have a love for the truth, God would turn them over to a reprobate mind, let them believe a lie and be damned. You can believe all of the understanding that the world's got to offer you. You can accept all of the educational systems in the world. But brother and sister, there's one thing about it. Whether it is one thing or whether it's another, it's not going to suffice for the Word of God. You can study chemistry, you can study science, you can study botany, you can study anything you want to study, but it isn't going to take the place of the words of truth. This is God's Word. And the Bible said, because they had not a love for the truth, which is God's Word, He turned them over to the reprobate mind, caused them to believe a lie, sent them strong delusions, and let them be damned. All right, in the light of these things, what can we say? Where can we go? What can we do? I'm a human being. I'm here in this world. You're a human being. You're here in this world. I can't tell Jimmy Carter what to do no more than you can tell him what to do. He isn't going to listen to me any more than he listens to you. But there's one thing about it. There'll come a day when you'll listen to God. Your neighbor isn't going to listen to you. Your neighbor isn't going to listen to me. But brothers and sisters, there'll come a day when you listen to God. Today God speaks through the ministry. Today God is trying to reach your neighbor. God is trying to reach my neighbor. God is trying to reach your son and daughter and my son and daughter. God's trying to reach me and trying to reach you. Trying to reach your loved ones and my loved ones. They may not listen now, but there's coming a day when they're going to listen to God. There's coming a time when they're going to hear the voice of God, and they're going to hear the voice of God gladly. The Bible said when God departs from them, that when the Lord returns, that he will not return until they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If I come into Marysville tonight, and if I'm a true minister of the gospel, brothers and sisters, when I leave Marysville tonight, there'll be a judgment that will follow this little tent meeting. If I'm not a true man of God, you don't have anything to worry about. Why worry about it? Because nothing's going to happen anyway. If I'm like the run of the mill that's just seeking another dollar so that I can have a little more advantage and pay my TV bills or pay my radio bills, you don't have anything to worry about. But let's just suppose it is of God and that God did send me to Marysville and I am of God. Just supposing it's like that. Then where are you standing when I leave Marysville if that be the case? All of those that do not respond, all of those that do not hear the word of God, all of those that do not rally to the things that we say, then where are they standing when we leave the little city of Marysville? Oh, glory to God. I feel good, don't you? Hallelujah. I feel the wonderful presence of Jesus here tonight. I'm glad that I can tell that God is here with us tonight. I thought about what Brother Taylor said tonight about the little Brush Harbor meetings, how wonderful they were. The old Brush Harbor meeting. And the songwriter said, and they called it a Brush Harbor meeting. They didn't have a denomination, the writer wrote in the song. They didn't call it the Methodist. They didn't call it the Baptist. They didn't call it the Church of God. They didn't call it the Presbyterian. They didn't call it the UPC. They didn't call it the Catholic. They didn't call it the Methodist. They just called it a place to worship God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, Brother Pike, does that mean that you don't approve of all of that? I approve of anything and anybody where you can worship God and serve God. I don't approve of anything that takes you away from the Word of God. I don't care what the name and title of it is. In the last days, the Bible tells us that they shall depart from the faith. I don't believe that ministers should go across the nation trying to get people out of the church. I don't believe that they ought to do that because they spent money building the churches. I don't believe that ministers ought to try to get people out of the churches to get a great following. I believe that ministers that are seeking a great following are in error because ministers are going to die just like the following is going to die. And then where will the following be? But I believe that ministers should come through the land preaching the word of God to get somebody converted to Christ and let them go back filled with the Holy Ghost that they might convert the ones that's in their assemblies and change the mind of the presbyters and the ecclesiastical powers, change them around and let them see their errors and come to Christ Jesus. That's what I believe. I believe tonight that we ought to support the gospel with our prayers. That we ought to support the gospel with our presence. I don't believe there's anybody that's in any greater error than people that refuse to go to an assembly to support the assemblies wherever God's people have come together. I believe that anybody that will not have a church home, that will not support a church assembly, I believe that that person is in error, that they should have a church home, that they cannot stay from the house of God and do the things that are pleasing to God. The Bible tells us that we are not to forsake the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but that we are to exhort each other the more, as we see that great day approaching, we ought to exhort each other to more, the more. Because the day of the Lord is going to be a dark day. It's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be a day of blackness, the Bible says. A day of horribleness for those that have not made their souls white in the blood of the Lamb. What a sad day. What a sad time. We need to support the gospel. In Marysville, I don't know the churches because we don't work like other evangelists. I don't come into town. I don't make, that is, expecting any churches to come out. I don't make any previous arrangements with any church to support me. I don't contact one church asking them to come out to my meetings. I come out to have a meeting and God gives me a meeting. I could contact two or three churches and have a tent full to begin with. Most ministers won't come to town unless they have 5 to 7 churches or more supporting their ministry because they're afraid it'll look bad when they come and have a few in the tent like we've got tonight. But also those ministers find themselves in a web. They find themselves bound up by the ecclesiastical powers working for money. Turning it into a machine and a money enterprise. And therefore the true people don't get to hear the gospel. It's just the same old routine. Because the ecclesiastical heads in the areas have already seen to it that they're not going to say anything that is contrary. You say, Brother Pike, you don't know that. Oh, I beg your pardon. I've traveled around for a long time in many places. I've had the fellowship with them, had the opportunities. I know what they require. And I've rejected and I refused it. Because I am looking for the sheep of God. Wherever I go, I'm looking for the sheep of God. I want the sheep of God. The Bible said, let whosoever will come, and that's the one we're looking for. And whosoever will, let him come. I want them to hear God's word, and I want to do what I can to tell somebody about Jesus. I had rather in this area reach 5 people during the whole meeting. Let those people get the real, genuine love of God in their heart. The real doctrine of Christ. Leave those 5 people in this area. I'd rather do that than to have 10 million people to preach to and leave the city knowing that they're going back to their same old way of life. Hallelujah. I'm here to try to stir you up for God. You know what a revival is? You know, if revival is shouting, hollering, running, jumping, if revival is great big offerings, if revival is great big crowds, then we need to join the carnival. They've got it all. If it's cracking jokes, having a good laugh, then we need to join the carnival because they've got it all. If it's getting a big crowd, then we need to join up with the Pope because he's doing a better job than even Billy Graham's doing. But if preaching the gospel is carrying God's word without respect to person, without being under the control or influence of anything, then what we need to do is preach God's word and let God take care of what's going on. The Bible said, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. And I believe that what we ought to do is preach God's word. If I preach God's word here tonight, if I preach God's word here tomorrow night, if I preach God's word here every night during the time of this revival, beloved friend, when I leave this town, God's word remains here. Hallelujah. Moses said, this is holy ground. God said, get your shoes off, Moses. This is holy ground. I don't know who the feller is that let us have the ground, but God will make this ground holy ground because God had a place here in Marysville. Hallelujah. God will bless it. And I'll tell you one other thing. God will curse those that reject the word of God. Over here at the other place, to where we was to sit, the man let us have the place. Apparently gladly let us have it. But a nearby neighbor said, you can't park on this land and you can't put a tent on this land. and said, if anybody parks a car on this land, or if anybody puts a tent on this land, I will shoot them. Only a fool will talk like that. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. Only if you say you wouldn't tell him that, bring him here and I'll tell him face to face. Only a fool will talk like that. And I'll tell you something else too. God will reward him according to his evil doings. I set my tent up down in Macon, Georgia. A number of years ago, a young businessman, an outstanding businessman, that had the admiration of the people. God had gave him a lot of money, a lot of favor, had a lot of favoritism. He mistreated my properties. He took my chairs out from under, let the people take my chairs out from under the tent while I was gone. Set out and watch a ball game with him. He allowed young fellas to come on the property knowing about it and throwed big rocks and tore holes in the tent. When I got ready to move it, God said, don't move that tent. I said, but God, that's my tent. He said, I'll take care of that. Said, leave that tent right where it's at. Leave it like it is. He said, he's going to pay for what he done. He touched God's property. And I'm going to make him pay for it, God said. So I left it there. In just a few days, that young man was dead. God killed him. Just a few days, all of those people that had greatly admired the man saw God kill the man. Right there before their very eyes. God said, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I bind up. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. There is no peace to the wicked, God said. They're like the troubled waters that's ever casting their mire upon the bank. The Bible said the prayers of the wicked are abomination in my sight. He said the offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth, God said. I will tear you into pieces. Beware, ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. I will meet you as a bear that has been robbed of a cubs. Oh, what a sad thing. What a sad thing to meet God as one that has been robbed of the cubs. They tell me there's nothing more fierce than to get a bear stirred up by stealing her cubs from her. They say that there's just no reasoning with a bear. You can't do nothing with it when you take her cubs away from her. And God said, I will meet you as one that has been robbed of the cubs. And I want you to know tonight that God has a difference with this world. You've robbed God. You've robbed God not only of dollars, but you've robbed God of his children. You have stole the virtues of mankind. God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. They can't quit playing with bombs. They can't quit blowing things up. They destroy the virtues. They steal the virtues of the young women. They tear down the morals that we try to build up. They do away with every thought of decency that God places in the earth. And God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. I made the earth to be inhabited, and I will destroy them that destroy the earth. So then I tell you tonight, and I especially speak to you children of God, you that are children of God tonight, I want you to know that there is nothing in this world to compare with you. There is nothing that is to be compared with you. The kings, the presidents, the rulers, the bankers, the millionaires, whatever it is, the professional men of this world, they are not to be compared with the children of God. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. You own heaven and earth and all therein. You're the one that shall live on and on. You know, the one that lives, outlives the other is the one that gets the inheritance. Somebody say amen. I said, if you live longer than I live in this world, you'll get the inheritance. Is that right? If somebody outlives you, then they're going to get the inheritance. And if somebody outlives them, then they're going to get the inheritance. But glory to God, there's one thing I've learned, and that's that the sons and daughters of God are going to outlive them all. They're going to live on and on and on and never die. And everything is going to belong to them. Hallelujah. So then tonight, you have a chance to have eternal life. You have a chance to be blessed tonight. You have a chance to do right tonight. Let's program our mind tonight, Christian friend, according to godliness. Let's program our minds tonight, sinner friend, according to godliness. Let's accept God. If you've never called on God, now's the time to call on the Lord. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now's the time to call upon the name of the Lord. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, now's the time to call upon the name of the Lord. You've got opportunity. While this little tent is sitting here, you've got opportunity to call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you something is happening in Marysville tonight. Oh, you say, preacher, we know that the tent revival, we have them all the time. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. I hope you do have them all the time. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that something is happening in Marysville tonight that's never happened before in Marysville. And something that will never happen again in Marysville. Oh, somebody said, now if it's a tent revival, it'll happen again. We'll have another one. It'll never happen again in Marysville. It's never happened before in Marysville, and it'll never happen again in Marysville. There's something that God is doing here tonight. And I'm glad that I'm here. I'm so glad that I'm here tonight. I know that some of you can't receive it. I understand that. We don't feel bad at you because you can't receive it. We love you. But I want you to know that something is taking place that you need to know and that you need to understand. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. I said, that's a short sermon, Brother Pike. Well, I preach longer than that sometimes. Sometimes I preach for hours. Jesus said there be some of you standing here that shall not see death until you see the kingdom of God, or until the kingdom of God become. Glory to God. I feel God's presence. I feel good. Hallelujah. I feel good. You know, it's so wonderful to be on the right side. So wonderful to know that Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Feel like dancing, feel like running, feel like shouting, don't know what to do. Hallelujah. Feel like I'm doing it all at one time. What a wonderful experience. What a great experience just to be here tonight. To look out there and see the faces. To know that you love Jesus. To know that the love of God is in your heart. And to know that you're concerned tonight. You say, well, how do you know that I'm concerned, Brother Pike? You wouldn't be here if you wasn't concerned. You wouldn't be here tonight if you wasn't trying to find out something. Amen. You wouldn't be here. You know, every state's got fine people. Every state's got them. And Tennessee's got some of the finest I've ever met. I guess I probably got as many or more people as friends in Tennessee than maybe any other place. But it's got wonderful people here. There's two real outstanding states that I think of a lot of time, and that's the Carolinas and Tennessee. A lot of good common people. A lot of good people that love Jesus. Some of them don't understand. All they know to do is try to protect what little they've got. And sometimes they get into wrong thoughts about it. You know, they go about it the wrong way. When they can't think about calling on God, they take other means. But they're still good folks. They still love Jesus in their way. And the more they learn about God, it seems like the more they try to serve God. The more they try to get close to God. And I say, Brother Pike, do you believe that's Tennessee people? No, I believe it's God people. But they live in Tennessee. Now, there are a lot of folks that live in Tennessee that ain't like that at all. A lot of folks that live in Carolina that ain't like that at all. But there are a lot of them that live in Tennessee that are like that. And some of the most wonderful people I have ever met is in the great state of Tennessee. courageous men, courageous women, women that know how to live a hard life, men that know what it means to roll up their sleeves and really work for a living. You know, that's the best thing that ever happened to humanity, is to learn to work for a living. I believe that. I've said this a lot of times. I say it here in Tennessee. It has been down through the years that hard-working men and women that was raised up on the farms, some of them didn't hardly know their right hand from their left as far as being intelligent according to the world survey and diagnosis. But they built us a great society. They built us a great world, a great democracy. But now we got a bunch that's been hatched off. And I tell you, it is some of the worst that the world has ever given. They are beatniks. They are dope addicts. They are harlots, prostitutes, whoremongers, robbers, thieves. Jesus said, a sinful and an adulterous generation. They've been taught in school and college that if they get a good education, that they don't have to work for a living. And the daddies, I've heard fathers say this to their children, son, you don't want to have to work the way that I work. Get you a good education. And so the son got a good education. When he come out of school, he didn't expect to work like daddy worked. He wound up wandering up and down the street, expecting to make a great discovery or something outstanding to happen to him that would make him rich without working, and consequently it didn't happen. Then he got discouraged, turned to dope and swindling and everything else. And they are tearing down what other men and women work to build up. But I tell you, what we need to do is work for a living. We need, it's good to have understanding. Paul said, study to show yourself approved. I don't believe in condoning ignorance. I believe that we ought to understand. I believe that we ought to know. We ought to have the greatest understanding of anybody. And the Bible teaches that all are born of God are of a good understanding. But at the same time, I don't believe that we ought to come to a place to where we feel because we have learned something that we should enslave others and make others our servant because we're so much greater and so much more intelligent than they are. But we ought to be a leader. You love Jesus? I believe it was said of Washington one time, the great commanding general, while riding down the road, one of the great supervisors or leaders up in the commands and ranks had his men out working, trying to move a great log or something that they was doing. He was standing over them and saying, now you do this and you do this and you do this. And while they strained and struggled and couldn't manage, the great General George Washington came along. When he rode up, he stopped on his horse. He got off. He reached down and got one end of it and said, let's move it. They got it out of the way. When they got it out of the way, he climbed back on his horse. And he said to the men, he said, the next time you have something like that to do, contact the commanding general so I can give you a hand. I'm sure that that other leader must have really felt insulted, as he thought he was so great that he couldn't mar his hands a little bit. You know, we think we're so great that we can't do anything. And the Bible speaks of women. Said there's some women that would not dare to set the sole of their foot upon the ground because of their delicateness. They think they're such beauties. But you know, God robed himself in a human body the commanding general himself, and came down into this world and washed Peter's feet. And said to Peter in so many words, when you need a foot washing, Peter, just call on me. I'll show you what to do. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know what we need to do is to humble our heart and follow in his footsteps. The Bible said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Bible said he thought to make of himself no reputation, but he became humble, fashioned himself like a man, become humble even to death on the cross, learning obedience by the things he suffered. Therefore, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our faith and of our salvation. What we need to do is link arms together. It'd suit me fine if about a few thousand of them over in Washington, D.C. would learn how to dig ditches. I believe that's the greatest school that you could ever send them to. If they'd have a good school and have somebody to teach them how to dig ditches and wash dishes, scrub floors, and do a little cleaning up and a little mopping, learned them how to clean up the White House by scrubbing and mopping, and learned them how to share with one another, and learned them how to give to the poor and to the needy, I think that we would have a better nation if we had people in the White House like that. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But as long as we got a bunch of boys as playboys, that all they want to do is play golf, just do things, you know, to have a good time, we're never going to have a nation. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't know that that's what we got. Anybody that's got any understanding knows that's what we got. I was down in Texas not too long ago, being on the great radio station, XCRF. I was there in the studio, and I heard a boy talking that run the elevator at the White House. He was home visiting with his parents, and I overheard him telling one of the people there, it was sister or something, there at the studio, how that going up and down the elevator, that he heard the conversation of the congressmen and other men, as they would say one to another, that I despise to go back to that office and have to mess with all of that and let it interfere with my golf games and whatever. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. He didn't intend to tell me, but I heard it. The Bible said a little bird shall carry the matter. Praise God. I love the Lord tonight. I love you tonight. I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate men that'll get out and wrestle with a tent. To get out here and work all night long in the mud, in the grit and in the grime, all night long. They don't ask anything. They get out here and work. They do the best they can, traveling across the nation. And some of these people, believe it or not, don't just travel across the nation, but some of them that are here tonight travel with me across the entire world to the foreign fields, trying to carry the gospel, trying to do something for Jesus, trying to lift up a standard for God. What do you think you're going to look like in the day of judgment, folks, when you stand there with people like that? What is it going to be like when God calls together all of these people that are interested in the things of the world? Now listen to me real good, and I'm going to close in a few minutes. The Bible said if a man seek to save his life, he's going to lose his life. But if any man will lay down his life, forget about his life in this world. If any man will lose his life in this world for my sake, that is to do something for God, that he'd neglect this world. If he do that, then the Bible said he will gain his life and that unto eternal life. So then, are you seeking to save your life here? Are you trying to get everything you can in this world down here? Are you trying to lay up treasures in this world down here and do everything you can down here to make it convenient and comfortable for you? Are you seeking a reputation? Are you seeking fame and popularity? Are you seeking prestige and trying to be someone special here? If you are, friend, you're going to lose your life. But are you seeking the will of God tonight? Are you seeking the will of God tonight? Are you trying to take everything that you know, everything that you've got, all of your skills, all of your abilities, all that you know, and do something for God? Did you know today that lawyers, that doctors, that dentists, that great movie stars, great celebrities, that great congressmen are turning aside from their great duties and their great way of life, turning aside from it, going away from it, counting it as nothing, and turning to serve God and looking to God for the greater reward. You say, how do you know? I know some of them personally. They're doing it because they found out that this treasure isn't going to last. This life isn't going to last. The things in this world isn't going to last. You may be young, you may be old, you may be middle age. You may just be a toddler. But as I've said so many times, there's a little hole on the hillside somewhere waiting for you. You may not have insurance, but there's a funeral director that's still waiting for you. Amen. When you stay around long enough, after you quit breathing, you won't have to have insurance to get somebody to bury you. They'll do it free of charge. There's somebody waiting to bury you. There's a little hole on the hill waiting for every one of you. So then, if that be so, why then should we be foolish? Life is swifter than a shuttle, like a vapor that appeareth for a while, and then it vanisheth away. So then, friend, let's serve God. Let's do the greater thing in life. Let's cast our all upon Him and our cares upon Him, because He careth for us. Can we sing this little chorus? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail, oh, I'll cease no more. Though the tempests may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it again? For I've anchored, can you lift your hands? My soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Have you really anchored in Christ tonight? Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Go leave it there. Oh, go leave it there. Sing it with me. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Now while they're playing, I want us to gather around the altar for just a few minutes. And maybe tonight there might be someone that has not really become reconciled to God. Maybe haven't really received the Lord as your Savior. If you haven't, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for you. A great chance to call on the name of Jesus. Great opportunity to rededicate your life to Jesus. To call upon His name tonight. The Bible said, call upon Him while He's near. Call upon Him while He may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The blood has been spilt, placed on the place of atonement. You know, I don't like to use the word spilt, because God didn't spill His blood. He gave His blood. You know, you spill something, that's accidental, but God gave His blood. He willingly gave His blood for you and for me. Tonight, I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands tonight. And I want you on the first night of this meeting, I want you to dedicate your life or rededicate your life to God. And I want you to ask God tonight to do something for you. And say, Jesus, tonight, help me. Lord, do something for me tonight. Father, move over my spirit tonight. Father, do something special tonight. And help me, God, that I'll know and understand your voice. Help me, Jesus, that I may have a burning enthusiasm and desire to do something for you. God, don't let me mumble. Don't let me grumble. Don't let me find fault. Don't let me say that I'm a dry tree and that there's no life in me, that I'm not able and everybody else can do it but me. But let's rededicate our lives in God. And let's say, God, tonight we're going to do something for you. We're going to do something for you, Jesus. Every day is going to be a challenge. Every day is going to be a new day. And we're going to do something for you. We're going to do something for you, Jesus. That's what God wants you to do tonight. Let's just lift our hands up. Make a new dedication tonight. Make a new dedication tonight.
We can't just trust.
You know the song says, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long have you prayed till the light broke? How long has it been since you talked with Him, my friend? While you lift your hands and close your eyes tonight, some of you have had great sorrow, great heartaches. Some of you have great problems. I understand that just across the street, just prior to our coming, that a lady lost her husband. Must have been a fine person, but I understand that she lost him. I also understand that just across the way, a few days ago, that a woman over here lost her son. Motorcycle skidded out from under him on a wet street, went up under a truck or some kind of vehicle and crushed his skull. Every day people are dying. Every day people are going out to meet God. What are we doing, friend? What are you doing? What am I doing? Are you praying? Are you telling anybody about Jesus? Do you ever visit anyone? During this revival, would you invite somebody to come out here? The Bible said, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, saith the Lord. Would you go out into the highways and hedges? Would you be responsible for bringing at least one couple or one family or one person that they may hear the gospel? In that God has given you life and in that God has given you opportunity to hear the truth, would you be responsible to somebody else? Would you do that? Will we have to look in the day of the judgment and say there's blood on our hand? Will we have to do it? Will we have to do it? Oh, friend, don't let it be. Don't let it be. Let's close our eyes. Lift our hands tonight. And I want to pray with you tonight. And I want to ask God to do something for you tonight. And I want you to unite with me tonight in this revival to pray and to seek God, to pray a special prayer here in this little town of Marysville, that God will do something special here in this little place. I know that God can, and I know that God will. If we'll pray, God will touch the hearts of people, and we'll go away saying it was good to have been here. I don't know how long we'll be here. Most of the places we go, we don't stay but 2 or 3 days, sometimes a week. Used to stay 2 or 3 weeks. But there's so much to be done. We've got to where we don't stay over 2 or 3 days. But while we're here, I want you to pray with me. And I want you to believe with me. And let's ask God to do something special here in this little town of Marysville while we're here. Father of heaven, as we lift our hands up to thee tonight, I'm so thankful, Jesus. I'm so grateful tonight because I feel your wonderful presence. Lord God of heaven, I know that you're the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I know that you're the same God that brought the water from the rock in the days of Moses. And I know tonight, Jesus, that you'll do the same thing for us here in Marysville. And I ask you tonight, Jesus, to look down from out of heaven. Father, be merciful. We're here at the leading of the Great Spirit. We're here because you sent us, Heavenly Father. We're here to testify to these people. Great and mighty God of heaven and of earth, thou who hast created the stars and the moon and the sun, thou who hast scooped out the ocean bed with thine hands, thou who hast made the trees and the brooks, the birds, thou who hast made humanity. O God of heaven and of earth, we are here because thou hast sent us here, O God. And I pray tonight that thy spirit would move through Marysville. May thy spirit, O God, move through Marysville. And may the power of God be here. May thy illumination, O God, go out over the city. And dear God, may things happen in the city. God, may they know that thy presence has come here, O God, to visit them in the city of Marysville. May these people be healed tonight. May the healing hand of God heal these people tonight. God, may the sick of Marysville be healed. May you go into the hospitals. May thy spirit tonight, Father, enter into the hospitals, into the convalescent homes, into the city, God. And may there be a great wave of healing and a great sweep of healing, Father, in the city. Father, that they may know that thy visitation has come into Marysville and that people will be accountable in the day of the judgment. Oh, God, may these people that are here tonight, those that are listening, may they be blessed tonight. May they be delivered tonight. May they receive a touch from God tonight in some special way. May they receive salvation. May a great sweeping revival break out in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Oh, God, that there be a change here, not only in the town of Marysville, but across the nation and across the world, Jesus.